Hey, this is Winfrey. It's our Monday night conference call. Thank you for being here. And it's a simulcast between the internet radio and BBS and a telephone conference line. And that's just the way it's developed. So we're just signing people in on the conference line, acknowledging them. We have Ron in Modesto, Francis in Concord, and I heard some people just sign in.
Andrea's here as well.
Hi, Andrea.
Georgia. Hi.
Anyone else?
Tennessee. Hi, is Terry here?
Kathy. Terry.
Maya from Hawaii.
Hello, Maya. You notice Maya sounds really centered and focused?
Her phone is always so loud. I mean, her phone is, she must, what kind of phone do you have, Maya?
Right now, actually, for the first time, I'm calling from a Panasonic landline. Usually, I have been calling from my own cell phone, which is a Razor.
I don't think it's her phone. I think it's her voice.
You have a very nice voice.
I think she has one of those multi-dimensional voices. It
just comes through.
Yeah.
And what did he do today, or did not do something?
I don't know, but Maya, we're on the radio, and we're having other people checking in. Mrs. Wynn, would you like to say your name and your city?
Hello, it's Marianne in Chula Vista.
Hey, Marianne.
Hi.
Hi. How are you tonight?
Very well. How is everybody?
No. I don't know. They can all tell you.
We're fine. Fine here in Georgia.
Well, we're on the radio, and let's see. What are we doing? What are we doing on our Monday night calls? First of all, we tell the same story over and over and over again. But every time we say it, it's not the same story, because it's a new moment. And so it's the same story in a new moment. Oh, you know I was going to record this. Just a second.
This conference will now be recorded.
This is Will. Would you like to say your name and your city? And that's okay if you want to listen in. But if you'd like to not be shy, you can just say your name. And that's all. I won't call on you for anything else. All right? Silence. Okay. So, this is a call where we always start out from nothing, and it always ends up in something. And for some of us, our lives are like that. And one of the things about chaos is if you're mimicking chaos, which we had a whole call about one time, you are kind of at the first cause of the universe. So there's certain advantages to chaos because anything can create itself from chaos. And when you're not in chaos, it means you can always go back to chaos for a moment. You know, the thing about the universe is that it is totally malleable, totally flexible, and you are the person learning how to work the universe because you are part of the universe. So this is an experiment always on Monday nights of turning chaos into something. Now, I have to confess, usually I start with a blank mind, but yesterday I said, you know, here's a way to explain something in a slightly a new way that someone might understand this coming from this way. And when I say understand, that's kind of a misnomer because understand sounds like it's a mental process. And this is not a mental process. This is a nonlinear process. So it's kind of like rather than understanding, it's like making the connection. Making the connections right here on the call to the higher aspects of your matrix. And at one point, I used the analogy that every human is like a skyscraper that has many different elevators on it. Not many different elevators, maybe floors. And most of us are stuck on the third floor, which we could call physical reality. And some of the interdimensional sources call it third dimension. Now, the interesting thing about our skyscrapers is that your physical senses never ever can see the other floors, even when you're there. You can't perceive them except indirectly. And we are striving to create a reference point on this conference call where you can sense these other floors and even access them without ever having any physical verification that they're there. Now, for me, I'm just like you, and I don't see them. I do something which I call reverse engineering. And I say, well, if this happened and this happened and this happened in the physical, then there has to be an explanation for it. And I keep looking for the explanation of how it works. And when the physical phenomena keeps being consistent, then I feel that I've come to the right explanation for that phenomena. Of course, I've had a lot of phenomena in my life, and I've shared it many times, things that don't normally happen. And the people that are checking into this conference call, some of them have had reported back amazing phenomena. What's phenomena? Something that is contrary to the normal physical laws of the universe. Something that shouldn't happen, can't happen by statistical probabilities, and yet it happened. That's phenomena. So each of us is watching the phenomena in our life. Each of us can see things, and something happens on our screen that is out of the ordinary in some way, and we make a note of it mentally. And then something else happens. We make a note of that. And then you put these points together of all these events that are happening that were improbable, and you see there's a pattern to it. Now, for me, I'm not only watching now my own improbable events, I'm also watching the improbable events of those people who are coming on to the conference calls. So I get more data. I get more improbable events. And you get all these improbable events together, and then you put them into your logical mind and try to make sense of it, and then out spits an explanation of here's how it works. So when you hear that explanation, and then you hear all the different improbabilities that occur for different people, then you have to evaluate that explanation and say, does it make sense to you? Because even if it's my experience, it's kind of like I'm here in a research factory watching it all, and I have not a lot, but a handful of people that I'm paying fairly close attention to, including myself. And so this is a research factory of interdimensional phenomena and communication, and coming back to you and saying, here's my data, and what do you think of this? Because here's my conclusions. And if you draw the same conclusions, if you agree that if this happened for me, it can happen for anyone, then why and how do you want to have that in your life? Why? Well, here's some of the data. Strange voices talking to me, very high intelligent voices talking to me through people that are close in my life with amazing insight to the human condition. Messages coming in my dreams. These voices have the ability to predict an event in the future. They don't usually do it, but they did it very accurately one time, and so accurately that it couldn't have been by mistake. The ability to create healing in somebody. The ability to feel them and not feel alone. The ability to call them into your space as an energy and suddenly feel an energy in your body. Some people are scared of that, so let me say, everything is one. We are all one in the higher realms. So an energy of support, now everybody likes, say, making love and feeling somebody else's energy in their body and you in their body. It's not the sex that makes you feel great. It's the energy transference. So you're not scared of that. Well, you might be, because it can be scary. But nonetheless, imagine beings that don't have bodies but have energies but could actually come and make you feel loved, make you connect with you, and you can feel them inside of yourself. And historically, I believe this is the way that people felt what we call God. But God is a word that really no one understands. I mean, it's a mystery, like the religious point of view of God sitting on a throne and saying, you're my child and you're good, you go to heaven, is, to my experience, not the way it works. There is a God, but the God is everything. And so everything, to become something, has to be less than everything. And as it becomes something, there's this explanation for how God becomes something by subdividing, and it's the subsets of everything that actually are the intelligences that have done interventions in this realm that we have identified as God. Now, these subsets don't care if you understand that they're subsets. They don't care if you understand that they're group souls. This is my talking for them, so they may correct me later, but I would say their highest aspect is not creating all this mental understanding, but allowing us to connect with them and feel loved, and that they can feel our love and we can feel their love. Now, that's a very powerful thing to experience, because now you don't have to be so needy. How many of you out there are looking for love and waiting for the right person? I used to be that way. And I used to think, well, I can't do this until I'm in love, because then I need to feel secure. And now, if you happen to find that, it's working. It's really great. But most people either find it and it doesn't work, or don't find it and keep looking. And what's happening is, because their mind is looking, they're not open to being loved interdimensionally. And that is available to everyone. It's just a matter of knowing what you're looking for and knowing how to ask and having a reference point. So that's part of my goal in these conference calls, helping to create the absolute reality that it exists and it's possible, and that if you're participating in this, and if you're studying my material, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, probably this is the best explanation for how realms interact that you're going to find in the physical plane. At least I've never found one like this. This is explaining things that make lots of sense, that include religion, include Christianity, include all the religions, and yet it's not a religion. It's the, what I would say was the source of religions, and now they are explaining how they work without fairy tales or without simplification. I don't mean to call religion a fairy tale. Cancel that out. Call it a gross simplification of how it works, because in prior times, this was far too sophisticated. But now, there's too many people that are too sophisticated for the simple explanation. And so, even when a religion has the vibe and has the energy, they can have a hard time recruiting, because to a really logical thinking person, it doesn't make sense. Yet this does make sense. But it's not a different energy, it's the same energy, it's just a different explanation. And like I said, the bottom line is making the connection, not the explanation, not the mental understanding. So for many people, this understanding has been extremely valuable in making the connection. Now, somebody else has already made the connection, and they use a different kind of understanding, it's fine, because it's the same connection. It's not like we're telling anybody, change your connection, change your belief and follow our belief. This is not a belief. It's an explanation for how things works, which is very sophisticated. And if you have a more simple explanation, and it's working for you, then this may add something to your explanation, or it may not. It may be that you want to work with what you're working with. Or if somebody goes to church, for example, and you keep going to church because it's the same energy. In church, there's a community. There's a communion of spirits. Same energy, just different explanation. And they don't care about the explanation. They just care about the connection. So here we have this skyscraper. I better mute everybody and hear all this background noise. Let's see.
All callers are muted.
So now we have the skyscraper, and we're on the third floor, and it goes up really high, and each person has their own skyscraper, and then there's kind of like walkways between the skyscrapers so that we can meet each other at different places on the skyscraper. And at the lower levels, the walkways are really kind of tough. They're very rigid. It's like there's obstacles, there's rocks, there's whatever. It's slippery. You make mistakes. The Elohim describe it as locked geometries. We get stuck there, and it's hard to get higher. At the highest levels, the walkways are like so slippery that you just like flow into each other. Plus, you have all these group energies at these higher levels greeting us and able to connect with our energies. And that's at the very high levels. And at the middle levels, you have what you could call the blue meanies, the negative guys. The ones that don't want your energy to flow past them. And for people on spiritual paths, oftentimes as they start to expand their matrix or reach out to these higher floors, once they make a connection at the higher floor, or feel the reference point of the higher energies, they also may have past track, past life links to the Blue Meanies. Now, I could talk for hours on the Blue Meanies, but that was the Beatles term, so it's as good as any, and I'll use it here, because the Blue Meanies are like a cap. As our energy rises, they try to capture it and use it for themselves. It's kind of like, ultimately, they feel empty, but they have lots of psychic abilities, and so they have made a huge, somewhat successful effort at capturing the energy of many of the people on this planet and controlling it in ways that are behind the scenes that it's not so obvious that that's true. In fact, for most people, it's like, you sound like a nutcase describing this. Maybe some of you might be thinking of me as a nutcase because I'm trying to talk about it. And that's okay, but just go along with me. And so there's these guys that are capturing your energy, and they don't want you to go any further than their floor because now they're in control of your energy. And in fact, they try to create fear in our realm because fear moves your energy right up to them. And so there's been, throughout our history, many circumstances creating fear that keep us locked in. The Blue Meanies can also channel, just as the high groups, the Elohim group and the Ra group can channel. And the Blue Meanies can look like the high group. They can masquerade as the high group. So when you're listening to channelings, you have to listen very, 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 very carefully because it takes a lot of discernment to tell the difference.
All callers are muted.
Okay, now I muted everybody. And even now there's many people who channel that look positive but could very well be the Blue Meanies. So I should say the criteria since I've brought that up. What is the criteria for discerning what's positive and what's negative? Well, I tell people when you listen to my channelings or you hear our channelings, don't start out believing it's positive. Start out being neutral and applying the criteria to it to see if the criteria makes sense. The criteria is positive sources honor free will. They don't tell you what to do. They don't take away your lessons of discernment. They don't create fear, and they don't kiss up to your ego. They don't come and say, you are our next beloved person. You know, they don't do that. They are a source of inspiration. They are a source of wisdom. And you can connect with them, and you can feel their love. That's what they have to offer. And if you really connect with them, they will become friends with you, and you can do co-creative things together. You can create an intention or a prayer that's for the highest good of all concerned, and they can help that manifest. They can help with the intention. Lower sources will tell you what to do. They'll create fear. They'll make you feel obligated. They will be possessive. They won't honor your experience. They won't say, have the experience you want to have. They'll say, do what we say. So, you know, those are two, that's, you know, the difference. And evaluate anything that comes to you under that criteria, and you'll probably make good choices. Now, Jesus also had some criteria, and I believe Jesus was connecting to the highest sources possible in this realm, and many of the things he said apply and connect with some of the things that we experience in the work with our channelings. And one of the things he said is, by your fruits you will be known, which means if someone is doing spiritual action, look at what's happening around them. Look at how it's impacting other people. Look at, decide the positive and the negative. Evaluate it. Then he said, you'll know them not by how they love me. This is my paraphrase. Not by how they love me, but how they love each other. So if someone is doing a very, I guess we could call it high or Christed expression, then they're not necessarily going to have a lot of people running around adoring them and worshiping them and putting them on a pedestal, but they will create an environment for people to love each other. So that's a good criteria to evaluate anything, including channeling, because that makes sense to me. And if it makes sense to you, you can apply it. If it doesn't, then don't. So there's all these human qualities, and this is what I wrote out earlier today. There's all these human qualities that have a third floor experience and then a higher dimensional experience, and there's words to describe them that I wrote down. I just put down two lists here, and I thought I'd share it. And it's like you can look at yourself and say, which side am I on? And it's not, you know, because you can attain to the higher side by just starting to visualize it and maybe understanding it. And remember the times in your life when you did have that higher experience compared to the lower experience and what you were doing and how you did it. But even just having the idea of it is something that can evolve you towards it. So we'll call the lower experience obligation. In other words, I do this for you, you do this for me. Tit for tat. And the higher experience we'll call gratitude. And so it's like you can get exactly the same thing with both words. The problem is gratitude is always free will. An obligation is always control. So, for example, let's just say you're loving somebody and they need something. They're lonely. Their shoulders hurt. They could be saying, hey, would you do this? And you feel like resistant because you don't want to do it because they're demanding it. So they're making you feel obligated. Listen, I pay for the rent. Can you at least give me a massage whenever I want it? Well, you see, obligation. What's gratitude? Gratitude operates out of oneness. You look at the other person and you give them what they need because you're one with them. You're feeling their energy. You're in their hologram, and if they suffer, you suffer. But you don't do it out of obligation, and it works both ways. And when people start relating this way, the relationship goes through the roof. It gets great. But when it's an obligation, everyone's on a scale saying, well, I did all this, and did he do that, and I do this, I'll do that. Now, so key is moving, observing your relationships and decide what's obligation and what's gratitude, and how can you move the relationship from obligation to gratitude, okay? So let's do another one. Now, let me just say, this is all my thinking. This is not channeled material, so just an even channeled material. Always run it against your own self and see if it makes sense. All right. Belief system. Experience. Now, I don't know if I have the right words there, but I'll try it. Most people or many people have a belief system. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Allah. I believe in communism. I believe in capitalism. I believe in free will. Well, a belief system is in the mind. An experience is in your experience. It's something you experience. Now, when you go into your kitchen and sit down on a chair, you experience that a chair is present and that there's a table present. You don't have to believe it. It's there, okay? Well, when we talk about interdimensional things, it's different because we can't see the table and we can't see, well, we can't see the table and the chair, but we can't see these beings quite as clearly as a table and a chair. But there is a way to experience them. And I think many times people on this call have the sense of their presence while I'm talking, and of course while Terry channels, because we have channeling on this call where they talk to us. But the talking to us is not nearly as important or significant as feeling them in your energetic field. So let's take a moment. Maybe some of you will have that experience. We can just ask them to come into our space right now. Now, you know, if you're listening for the first time, who we're talking to and asking to come into the space are these two sources that we have become familiar with, which identify themselves as group souls that each have millions of individual souls comprising them. One of them is the Ra group, and the other is the Elohim group. And the Ra group is closer in. You can feel it in your body. And the Elohim group is more celestial, and they radiate into your space. And, of course, we have been speaking to both groups. And so if we ask, we can have the energy of both groups be present with us. And if you want to experience this, you might shut your eyes and make sure there's no distractions. And ask, if you're comfortable asking. Now, if you're listening for the first time, you're not comfortable, and you're wondering what you're getting yourself into, then don't ask and just listen and be neutral. But asking helps because they honor free will. And if you don't ask, then you can ask, even your high self can ask, but there's no asking. If you have some anticipation or fear, then don't ask and just go along. But right now, some of you are feeling the energy in your space. Some of you, if you shut your eyes, can see the light in front of your third eye above your nose, because they come in as energy. They come in as love light energy. And if you look at your body, you can feel the energy flowing through your body. Maybe you're having tingling or goosebumps. And imagine that that's an intelligence. That's real intelligence that's surrounding you and looking at you. Try sending some love into that intelligence. Send gratitude that says, I'm glad you're paying attention to me now. Thank you for doing that. And I send my loving back to you. And keep your eyes shut. This is a free will relationship. They don't have to do that, and you don't have to accept them. in the morning when you wake up and you're feeling kind of funky, you're feeling kind of out of it, try to reinvoke this feeling that we just had, those of you that experienced it. And get into the habit that they are your friend. And that if you ask and get used to asking and get used to making the connection, they will connect with you. So part of our conference calls is asking them to be on the line when we do these calls. Because in this realm, there are so many distractions, and there's so many ways of losing the connection. And for many people, this kind of connection is something unusual, unfamiliar. And they need a lot of reinforcement. Plus, many people have had lots of lifetimes where that we have patterns that are very long-term established patterns that block ourselves, that keep creating difficulty in the world, obstacles in the world. And it's hard to get over our patterns. And when we are by ourselves and we try to make this connection, we keep connecting with our patterns, and the patterns stand in the way of the connection. So sometimes it takes a while to get through your pattern. I mean, maybe we have a pattern that was like 3,000 lifetimes. You've been duplicating the same pattern. And suddenly, you say, maybe I could get out of that pattern. And so this is a reference point that can help you get out of your pattern. And sometimes people get addicted to the reference point, but sometimes they need to do that for a period of time. So because the pattern that's been established in the past is so powerful that it will keep coming back really strongly and blocking you. So it's okay. That's why we have conference calls every night, and they're free. They're not charging for them. There's no other agenda than creating a reference point of a higher vibration so that we can... Actually, there's two reasons for it. One is to help people connect with that vibration and move past their patterns. The other reason is that once you've done that, there's the need to be of service, like to use that. You've learned to hold a higher energy so that on these calls that you can hold that higher energy for people that are just starting and give them support. And the third reason for these calls is that the physical realm starts in other levels and downloads into the physical. It's very hard to change things from the physical level. It's very hard, and it's much easier to uplift this realm and change it from the higher levels down. When we hold these conference calls, we create a group energy, which creates not this one in particular, but other ones, group intent, planetary healing. And when you have a group of people communing with these group energies and creating a group intention, you now have something which can transform the physical, but starting in the higher realms. And, of course, for the past couple of weeks, we've had the Elohim discuss grace, which is exactly what we're talking about. You know, we have these locked geometries in this realm, and they have the ability to come in and help us. Help us. Help us is the key word. They can't do it. They can answer our request and lubricate the geometries, the stuckness, the frozen holograms, and then they can flow from their realm into it and create something where it didn't exist or wouldn't have been possible otherwise. So I didn't get too far on my list, and I'm talking too long because I'm talking about them. And, you know, one of the things is I've learned that we are creating kind of a seamless connection, because they start coming in and you start feeling their energies. So by the time we're talking, we're just already present. So there's not a them and an us. There's just oneness. But in this realm, there's this huge veil that we have to get through holographically. And that's what we're doing on this call. At least that's my intention. We are penetrating the veil so that we start interfacing with these groups that actually they've explained. And again, I don't believe anything. I just repeat, when they say this, that's what they say. They say they've blended for us because it's unusual to have a reference point down here that starts to feel both of their frequencies. So they've blended, so when they speak in channelings, we're getting the, not always, because sometimes, you know, like when we're talking about grace, grace is an Elohim quality. That's how they described it, a high level of Elohim. And so sometimes we're just talking to a high level of Elohim. But oftentimes, the voice that comes through Terry identifies itself as Ra'an, which is a conglomerate of both group souls speaking to us. And I don't know what we're going to talk about or say, but we could probably open up a little conversation with them. I know everyone gets mad because I talk too much. And so, excuse me for talking so much, and but we created a good space, and we have about 7 or 8 minutes. Let me ask Terry, are they present, Terry?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Should I call in the light, or can we trust that the energy is okay?
The energy is good.
Yes. So, we're having, maybe I'll ask a couple questions based on what we're talking about. You know, it's everyone's challenge in the physical, how to the vocabulary that you use, and I'm mimicking here, is unsticking your geometries so that we can access the flow from the higher realms. And maybe you'd like to make a comment about that and some guidance. I'm giving a talk from the bottom up, and maybe you could share something from the top down. Thank you.
Yes, we greet you now in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra'an. We are a combination of the Ra group and the Elohim. Not all of the Ra group and not all of the Elohim. This is a specially assigned task force to meet with the people in the third dimension who are asking for our presence to come in and to communicate. We have been present in the last 3 days with the channel Terry, who has been doing a lot of praying for the helping to fight the fires that have been present in Southern California when the individuals in the third dimension work with the presence of fire and fighting the fire, it can become a turf war between the fire and between the person fighting the fire. If the person reaches to the higher levels and asks for help, they can get further help with the quelling of winds in some cases, which is what we were doing in some part a few days ago. The view that we have is an energy view of your planet. It is not from the ground up, although we can look from the ground up, but we can also encompass everything. We are nonlinear, and we can be every aspect of it. We cannot violate free will, however. And if somebody has frozen geometries in expectations, we cannot violate their free will in that instance. Do you have questions?
Can you explain how it looks from your space? If you're working with Terry, and she is like working with a fire, and you're helping the wind subside, how does that look as an interaction between you and us?
We see Terry, who is combined with us and very, very large, as we are very, very large, overlooking the Earth. We can look into the Earth flow patterns. It is not a specified size. We can get so large, we can see the patterns of heats and colds over a large part of the Earth, or we can get so small, we can look at a flower bobbing in the wind. We can see the effect of the wind on the surface of the Earth and can watch the effect of the blowing. To stem it more from the source, however, one becomes the wind, becomes friends with the wind, and looks across the flow. That is the answer. Do you have a further question?
When we're having things like fires and winds, why is it so important for someone like Terry to be connecting, as opposed to you be looking down and saying, geez, we could really help by slowing down the wind? Why is it important to have someone down here who's helping to make those requests?
You on the Earth plane have the individuals who are forecasting the weather, but that is not the major source of the instigation of the winds. The winds are a resultant flow of the free will of the flow of the heat and resultant flow of air that is precipitated when the heat, the hot area and the cold area move against each other, there is a flow, and it is at the formation of these flows where changes can be more easily made, or a high pressure area can be moved at, as one is in movement, it is easier to move it in another direction. However, in order to do this, there must be agreement of the air flows. All is conscious and intelligent and can be worked with. If no one is asking for an influence on the resultant flows, and the flows and consciousnesses of the atmosphere are moving together, then there resultant command over the result. If someone else asks, their asking becomes part of a consensus reality. If more than one person is asking, the consensus reality has two people. The many people asking, then there is a faction that is also helping determine the outcome. Does that answer your question, at least in part?
In part it does. That's a really, thank you so much, because maybe it helps people intuit how this all works, realizing that actually the part of them that asking is also part of the creation of the result, and you can come in and help, and their asking is kind of like
it's like putting in a petition.
Yes.
For another result, where without their petition, the factors that are already there then determine the result.
And
all
and then,
is conscious in some degree.
And this can work not only for winds and fire, but people who are sick, all kinds of things. People can put in a petition and help change the factors that were causing the circumstance. Would that be a way of...
That's correct. If someone is sick and they are so locked into their sickness and believe so much what the doctors have told them that nothing can be done and it may be terminal, then that is their belief system and that is their petition.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for helping us understand that. And you know what? We're probably already cut off BBS, 6:55, and I think they start your new show now. But just in case we're not, let me say goodbye to our BBS listeners. Thank you for being here. If you want to share more and get messages, we have something called messageaday.net, which where these frequencies, these energies are coming into your email every day, and it's helping a lot of people stay uplifted in this period of time. And so we say goodbye to BBS, and we can have closing comments from on to our group.
There are many diverse factions and ideas resulting